Coming to you from Homebrew Studios, it's Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour with your hosts,
Bob Cady
and John Piccirillo.
Welcome to episode 128 of Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour.
Welcome aboard, folks.
Welcome aboard.
Hello.
No, as you can see, we have Captain Personality's not here.
Where's John?
He's in Italy.
They say it takes three people to fill in for
that's right.
Minimum. That's right.
Minimum.
Actually, you guys are the first, we were the first foursome on the show.
That's true.
We've only done three at a time.
I feel like a virgin.
That's fitting after John's story from Italy. Yeah.
Oh, wait till those stories come out next episode.
You're going to have so much content.
Yeah.
So much content.
My God, my pipe organ, yay!
That's going to be him all week long.
Well, there's only one thing to do right now. John, this is for you.
Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And now we'll let Greg shoot you the wink and the point.
Do you see how that sprayed all over? Just
it's
like it always
just
does.
Like it always does.
Yeah, I had to try just to like it always you know, does. Do the same thing.
That's
you know?
Right. That's
for
right.
Everybody who doesn't know, we talk about Greg, Tom, and Chris all the time. Well, Greg, Tom, and Chris filling in for you know who. Which is going to be funny because this is going to be the first time he's going to be watching this and not him not be involved in it.
Is this going to air while he's still gone?
Yes.
Yeah, probably by Friday, right?
It'll be on Friday.
That's delightful.
When does he get back?
He gets back on Sunday.
Oh, perfect. Mm.
So this will be perfect. He'll be able to watch and we're going to wave to him. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hello, John.
You bitch in Italy, you.
There's my. Gotta bring up my. My
We've been doing here. Good work, John. Good work without you.
We've been doing good work. Good work without you.
I'm proud of us, John.
we even got a little recording in tonight, and I think you'll be pleased. I think
sounds super cool.
Oh yeah, we've been working that studio.
They got all tensed up right before. They're like, this is where the magic happens.
Yeah. This is like going to Mecca or something. I feel like I should have a little prayer rug or something.
I can feel the power. I can feel
You're
the power
talented,
of John.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
I am. And, you know, I've been dying to play with John's balls.
Oh, that's
hey, he's got three pairs. You can pass them around.
I don't know how this works, but.
Yep. There you go.
Just like that, yeah.
Just rub them lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and, of course, Tom had to wear a green tank top, so he's probably missing half of them.
All you're seeing is my head and arms right now.
Should I pass John's balls around? Or,
well, you know what?
They've already been around a few times.
Yeah. I mean, these ones look aged.
Which there seems to have been a misunderstanding about what kind of boat guys we're going to be.
Those are almost gourd-like.
Yeah.
You probably see somebody about that.
Elephantitis.
They're on a
They're passing
leash.
John's balls around.
They smell funny.
Does it smell like Fremunda?
It's kind of like what do you call that? Mulch?
Mulch. They're very mulchy.
John's got mulchy balls.
And what you just said there, you crossed the line, buddy.
This is just as fun as I knew it would be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have absolutely no agenda. We're just here to talk.
Yeah. And we've got plenty to talk about. So.
Oh, plenty. Plenty to talk about.
We just did three shows sitting over there. I don't know why you didn't record that.
I know we should record the whole damn night, right?
Oh, there's a lot of German going on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of German. There's always German. That's right. Helmut will be back.
That's right. Maybe we should introduce ourselves by our Klickenfucker.
I don't even remember my. I have it written down, but I don't remember.
Tom's the only one that knows him by heart.
Yeah.
So
I am Klaus.
Go for it.
Klaus.
Hello, yes. Klaus.
And next to me, we have Dieter.
Dieter.
Heinz.
Heinz.
Is Gunther.
Ooh. Gunther. And then, of course, we all know.
Helmut.
Wait, one more time.
Helmut.
Oh, he's giving him the...
Yep.
No, he's just...
Oh, my God, my pipe organ, yay!
Hey, I got
that
like
kills me every time.
The last episode was like based on me. I'm pretty sure. I know it only took up like 2 minutes of an hour, but it felt like it, and I was really happy. Really happy.
Your moment to shine, right?
Yeah,
there.
It gives me a warm feeling.
These guys remember the episodes better than me and John do, and we're doing the episodes.
I know. We'll sit there and text Bob the next day when we're watching them, and it'll be like, I don't remember that. Did I say that?
Why did you say that? Well, you guys just talked about it last week. You're like, no, that was a month ago.
Yeah, I'll text them to like correct them on something that I saw on the podcast, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "It was in episode 117."
I don't remember. I don't remember anything.
It became uncomfortable at one point when I started to know like too much about you guys after like 3 weeks with the band, and I was like, okay, maybe I should back off. I might be coming off a little weird.
He's creepy stalker guy. He's creepy stalker.
Am I being paranoid or is he busting my balls?
Yeah, your drop game's hot tonight, buddy.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah.
He's smooth. He's in fuego. So
I'm touching myself tonight.
I feel like I'm sitting over here across from Fred Norris right now.
Yeah, right? You know?
It's good.
Yeah, except now I got to see. Usually I'm planning stuff when I hear him just going.
Yep.
When he starts going, I'm just like.
Yep, you got plenty to do in the meantime.
Oh, I'm just like hitting shit and everything else. So we might as well start off and see. John, we're going to see if they can really fill in for you. You ready?
This is good.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Time to make the chimmy fucking changas.
You can find us at bobandjohnspodcast@gmail.com, on buzzsprout.com and iTunes, or
at Lou Sam Buttery on the Twitter or Instagram or Facebook Live.
Or on our YouTube channel or Facebook page at Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour.
Hey, boys!
that felt very good.
That
very
was
natural.
So
very
natural.
Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. John, you may be out of a job. I don't know.
No, we're just going to add. We're going to keep adding.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when they do a play, they have an understudy.
Yeah. Greg's been waiting in the wings for this for like months now.
Tonight, Greg will be playing the role of John.
As soon as John was not going to be here, Greg's first thing was like, I'm in John's place.
This is the prime spot for camera action. Yeah. You know what I mean, John?
Yep. I ignore the fucking camera half the time. I'm like fucking do over here. And he's like, I look over sometimes and I look up and I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? He's like making love to the camera and stuff.
I love it when he's working the camera.
I am not gay, senor. You just make me do gay things.
Well, you know, the good thing right now is with this green shirt on, they probably can't see that I have nipple erections from the sweat. Wow. I'm so excited, you know?
Well, now that you rubbed them.
Yeah. I am not gay, senor. You just make me do gay things.
That's a double tap on that one.
Oh, yeah.
That is no mistake.
Absolutely. Well, one thing we were obviously going to talk about was that since this is 151 minus Helmut, minus John, we thought we'd talk about drummers. Because he's not here, so we might as well talk about him.
That's right. We don't want his opinion.
That's right. We don't want his opinion.
You've got too many opinions on drummers, I'm sure.
You know, one thing I don't like about drummers. Wait, I don't have the right bushy eyebrows for that, yeah. Right?
You bet your ass.
So we'll go around here. What is your top underrated drummer?
All right, so you know, you said drummers. I'm a singer and a guitar player, and I'm like, drummers? This is going to be tough. So I had to go back and think about, you know, there's the classics, right? So I'm asking people, I'm like, tell me about your favorite drummer. And people are giving me the funny look, and I'm like, well, okay, don't tell me, you know, Neil Peart.
John Bonham.
Don't tell me John Bonham.
Keith Moon.
Right.
Yeah, the Mount Olympus of drummers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you got to skip that stuff and get right. And everybody's looking at me like, there's other drummers? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, there's really? Got to be somebody. So I went back and thought about a couple of bands I really liked and then worked through those and found some drummers, right? So yeah. David Robinson from The Cars.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Very underrated. David Robinson was also with the Modern Lovers. And I don't know if you remember Modern Lovers. That was more like, that was around when the Ramones were hitting.
Mm-hmm.
That was around when Talking Heads were
they were kind of more that they were what they that. Called like new age, new age almost.
Yep, yep.
New and wave were, or new age.
New wave.
Or
yeah. Blondie. They were hit, yep. Punk new wave time frame. Yep. And they were hitting with, you know, CBGBs and so yeah, that was some, you know, he was kind of a pinnacle of what people wanted to be in that scene right then. And he just kind of faded away. And I was like, yeah, what happened to him? He actually, and I had to write it down, he stopped playing in 1987.
What?
He just stopped playing?
Yeah. So when they broke up, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah. What's his name?
Okasic?
No, Orr. Was it Robert? Benjamin. Benjamin Orr.
Yep.
You know, Benjamin Orr had passed away. He kind of gave up music. But then later on, it was him that put the band back together to do that album. So what was that? 2010, they got back in the studio and did an album together. He's the one that got the band back together. He had to learn how to play drums again.
Oh, wow.
He literally had to go and take lessons to go and learn how to play. I don't even get it.
Probably heard himself on the radio every day.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I'm thinking, how do you forget? Like, it's funny. We were talking about you forget a lead, right? Or even me, like I'll forget. How did I sing when I was doing that? Like, can't seem to get there. How do you just plain forget? He was like, I forgot how to play.
Yeah,
I wanted to do it again, but I forgot how to play.
I could see losing chops or like not having stamina or something.
Yeah,
like, how do you forget how to play?
23 years. That's crazy. You know, that's a lifetime for some people.
Yeah.
Not me, but you know, some people. Not present company excluded.
Well, at our age, that is a lifetime ago.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's about half our life. And that's like, you know, you sit there and that's like a whole nother, you know, lifetime ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've never not played for that long, so I couldn't even imagine it. You know, because I was always, even when I was down, when I sold all my gear the first time in the early 2000s, I still had an acoustic I was plinking on, you know what I mean? Something.
I gave up for about 7 years, but I always kept an acoustic around.
Yeah, you know? And you're just always plinking along something, you know what I mean? And then it's like, I don't know how you could just lose everything completely.
It's nuts.
That would be truly bizarre.
Yeah, like, so that was like I fell down the rabbit hole. After I found him, I'm like, oh no. Yeah, that was a long night.
We'll go to Tom.
Why are you still up? Right? Okay, I've got two that I really thought of, and one of them's probably going to seem like maybe low-hanging fruit. Maybe not, because he doesn't get a lot of attention, but everybody thinks of Green Day as like simple three-chord songs and all that.
He's a great drummer.
Trey Cool
is phenomenal,
and I've never seen anybody that can do as fast snare rolls as this guy can and then jump into another part and never miss a beat.
Yeah,
that's pretty
smooth.
Impressive.
Yeah. Tight, articulate drum rolls.
Yeah.
And come on, his name's Trey Cool.
Yeah, really. How does it get any better than that, right?
Didn't he sing that one song?
No.
There was like a bonus track on the first, on Dookie, where he's like, I was alone. I was all by myself.
Yeah.
I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. he sings in one other song on one of the more recent albums, too, but it's only in part of the song. I think it's on American Idiot.
Nice.
Where they're doing the part about, I got a car, I got, you know, two ex-wives and a girlfriend and all that. That's Trey Cool singing that part right there. Nice. So it's kind of neat, you know. But the only other one that I could really think of that is kind of like a deep stretch because a lot of people don't remember him, but in recent history, you know, in the last probably year or so with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame stuff and all that, Dave Abbruzzese, who was probably, let's see, he was the second drummer in Pearl Jam. Dave Crewson did all the stuff for 10, but didn't go on tour with him, and then that's when Dave Abbruzzese came in, jumped in, toured with him for that album, and played in the next two after that. That guy has like some serious like swinging jazz kind of you know, sounds to his playing and all that, and the rhythms and all that, and that's kind of, you know, a little bit different than what kind of progressed with the band after, you know, the first three albums or so. And in all honesty, I mean, nothing against Matt Cameron coming in and filling, you know, in and jumping in, and you know, when Soundgarden kind of took a tank and all that, and Matt's a great drummer too, but Dave Abbruzzese is just like, he's as much of a nut job as he turned out to be. He's really, really tight on those kind of grooves and stuff like that.
Did he get shut out of the Hall of Fame, or was he
included?
Well,
the thing with that was is that the Hall of Fame controls everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his name? Jan. Yeah, Jan Dickhead.
Who's trying to sell
Rolling Stone. I'm not worried about us getting in the Hall of Fame, so fuck it.
So whatever.
Yeah, Jan's trying to sell Rolling Stone right now, which is interesting.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But what had happened was they control everything, and they decide who gets invited to be in. And as much as any band, you know, wants to try to do, you know, the right thing for certain members and things like that, they'll say, sorry, you know, no luck. I mean, the bands can put as much pressure as they want on Jan and the rest of the you know, group, but it's not going to happen. So, of course, he has to sit there and make a whole big deal out of it and all that, and that became a whole big, you know, melee or whatever. But
it always ends up being that way. Kiss with that. That's why that's why Kiss didn't end up playing, because that really pissed Paul, especially Paul, off that they wouldn't let Eric Carr or Bruce Kulick in. Those two especially were the ones, because they held the flag. They ran that flag all through the 80s and the non-makeup years.
Yeah.
So I think they should have been included. Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer, you know, I'm not at a loss if they weren't going to be in. But
that's shorter term stuff.
Yeah.
The other guys, I mean, that was the rebirth there with it was, the makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
pretty
huge.
Much.
Yeah.
So they're always that thing. But, you know, and Springsteen's manager is big on, he's on the committee too. He runs the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Jan there. So that's why, like, if you were in this E Street Band for a split second, they had that fucking line of them when they all got in, you know, and everybody had a 50-minute speech, every single E Street member. It was like, oh, Christ. You know what I mean? Jesus.
Are we to X Street yet?
Yeah, we're going to have to go into double letters pretty soon, right?
Double D Street.
Double D Street, which is not a bad place to be, I bet.
Get the fuck out of here. I cannot
see, he's the king of the drops.
Ah, nice.
Sometimes it's just, I just look and I go, fuck it, hit that one.
That's the one.
Yep, that's the one right there.
They call to you.
they call to me.
I think we got to roll to Chris now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a good pick, Tom.
Yeah, that's a nice pick.
They did their best work with him, too, which is nuts. Like, how is he not?
That was their Versus and Vitalogy are my two favorite albums.
Exactly.
My two favorite Pearl Jam albums by all, you know.
Pearl Jam's like Spinal Tap, a lot of drummers, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, they even joke about that in the PJ20 video, too, which is interesting to watch. They show, like, scenes from Spinal Tap with one drummer blowing up and all that stuff. It's really cool.
So. I feel like Vitalogy's a sleeper. Like, it's such a good album.
I can listen
really
to that song
that
from beginning,
album.
Or the album from beginning to end, no problem.
And so many weird songs that aren't, you know, the mainstream stuff that you know, hits for them.
Tremor Christ, one of my favorites.
Well, I went with a pick that he's technically not that great, but he's awesome. Steven Adler. Because I think
good old popcorn.
Every goddamn fill on Appetite is a hook.
Like, yeah.
I don't know anyone else who's ever done that. Like, when I listen to the record, I'm doing air drums the whole time. Like, how does he do that?
He comes from his direct influences are Kiss and Aerosmith. So he comes from that, where everything is like that. He comes from influence, because you got like Bill Ward, you got Peter Criss, you got Joey Kramer. They're all that jazz drumming influence, swing stuff, that type of stuff. So they're always putting in fills during verses and stuff where you're just like, well, he's just putting in fills there. It's just, you know, like the whole verse was a fill. It's like, what the hell? You know, they're just writing it right there as they go along. But that's what I know. He was influenced big on Aerosmith and Kiss, which shows
you could hear
in a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
And also, there was like this intangible element he had of like recklessness. Like, it sounded like the wheels were going to fall off half the time.
Yeah.
And to me, that was such a big part of that record, was just the like danger.
Yeah,
of it.
Teetering right on the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Matt Sorum came in, and like, I hate him, because compared to Adler,
you're
like,
too good.
He's too good, man. Yeah. He's like smooth and like does everything right. It's like the edge part is gone.
The technicality.
Part of the problem is they just want it like, so they went from being dangerous, like, you know, early Aerosmith, Stones type of stuff with a heavy, even a heavier edge. And then suddenly when Use Your Illusions, which I like a lot, you could probably take all the Use Your Illusion stuff off of both albums and make one good album.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like the thing they lost is that suddenly they started to try to become Queen or something.
Yeah.
And like, they want these epic songs and, you know, they're 15-minute, you know, the operatic shit and everything, and Axel thinks he's a cross between Freddie Mercury and Elton John and shit, and it's like, what the fuck happened?
You those, can't be edgy, you know, if what, you have though? Piano in your song.
Yeah.
Those songs, and they were, put them, those were still great. Excellent songs. Yeah. I mean,
but they just
definitely
weren't.
A huge departure for him, though, and you know how that goes.
Yeah.
I was
that's
listening
a win
to
or
that.
Lose.
Yeah. And, I'm like, oh, I like the Civil War drums. And then I looked, and it was fucking Steven Adler.
Civil War. That's one of my favorite gun songs, the Civil War. Yeah.
It's like, that's a hook right
there.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Estranged is my favorite song out of both of those. I think that's on Illusion 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I got sick of that so, but I just, that was one that was just like, I stayed away from because I was at the end of my Guns N' Roses moment. At that point, I was just like, oh, they're just, okay, this is like the 35th video from these two albums. And
it's a half hour long.
It's a half hour long. And after it's just the Axel droning on. It's not just like suddenly he's trying to be Springsteen and drone on about some kind of mental conversation in his brain. It's like, oh, this is getting old, you know.
Hey, go see a shrink, Axel.
It's not easy to keep coming up with lyrics.
No.
Two albums worth.
As you start to figure it out.
Christ.
See, some of the ones off the Use Your Illusion ones are some of the most buried ones, like Dead Horse, I think is a great song.
Yeah.
You know, or Garden of Eden is another one. Mm-hmm. And one of the bigger ones is You Could Be Mine doesn't get played, I don't think, nearly enough.
No, that's a great song. That's a kick-ass tune.
I mean, Get in the Ring was another one. That was actually the crowd was recorded up at SPAC.
Oh, really?
If you read the booklet, that's why I tell John all the time, we hear that song, I'm like, that's us.
Hey, yep, we were there. Do you hear me?
Yeah, because the album wasn't finished yet when they started touring. So when they got to SPAC, there's still no album left. There's no album out.
That's crazy.
So he said, I'm going to record this live right now because we're going to, they were literally the next day flying to Toronto or something to finish stuff.
Was that like beginning of that tour or something? Was this one of the first stops?
They were with Aerosmith.
This was, No. This was because this was the Use Your Illusions. It was Skid Row.
Oh.
It was them and Skid Row. Yeah. Yeah, and it must have been. Yeah, this was early on in the tour. I don't think we were first stop, but we were early on.
Right.
And he said, "I'm recording this and everything." So when we got the album, I went and looked in the final print, and it said that, you know, at Saratoga Springs, New York,
that's crazy.
For the crowd, you know, saying "Get in the ring, get in the ring, get in the ring" chant.
That's cool.
I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool." I'm on a Guns album.
You can probably get really good audience audio from there, like from the seats.
Just booms
right down to the stage.
Yeah. I don't see the one thing I don't remember is if they. I don't think they did play a lot of the songs off the album. You know, because Civil War was a single,
right?
And I think You Could Be Mine was out because of the Terminator 2. So I think they had a couple of those ones. I think they might have threw in Live and Let Die.
Yeah,
because that was a known entity already.
Right.
Yeah, Steven Adler definitely.
Nice pick.
The only guy that gets thrown out for doing too many drugs in a band like Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, go figure.
You know, you're a real asshole.
Yeah. I don't know if he's stable or not.
I'm kind of worried about him.
Meanwhile, Axel's hiding out in somebody's apartment from the cops and stuff. You know,
Slash is OD. Slash is dying, ODing with Nikki Six. Yeah,
he's a problem.
Yeah,
he's kind of dragging us all down.
We need to talk about Steven.
That's why I have no interest in the Guns reunion that's been going on for like 2 years.
That's what I said. No. I'm like, no Adler, no Izzy.
No, you don't have Izzy. You know, it's not a full reunion. Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm just waiting for them to finish up so Slash can go back with Miles Kennedy and do another killer album. Do that, because I'm just like, I don't even care. Axel's voice, he sounds like Kermit half the time. You know what I mean?
I can listen to about 3 Guns N' Roses songs in a row, and then I'm ready to get out because I just can't stand his voice anymore.
He's been taking a pretty good beating from everyone lately, but I've heard a couple of live shows like on YouTube.
I think he sounded better with AC/DC.
He definitely sounded better with AC/DC.
I think that's what you're going to see happen too. After this tour, he's going to go right there, and it's going to be him and Angus and whoever's
surviving.
Yeah. What's going on with Brian Johnson? Because I thought I just saw that he got up and sang, right?
Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He sang,
they did Highway to Hell. Was it Highway to Hell?
I think it was.
Well, fuck Billy Joel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch Hired Gun.
Yes, and then he stole.
You won't like Billy Joel.
Then he stole Brian's wallet.
He stole.
After he didn't tell him he was fired.
You do realize, Brian, you're only getting scale for this. Yeah.
Mine is going to be, I don't know. Mine might, I guess it's an A-list guy, but he's not known for his drumming. I still go with Phil Collins.
Oh yeah.
He's so, for, as a drummer, you never hear him in the conversation, but he's a fucking fantastic drummer.
Well, yeah, if you think about the prog music that they were playing before they went pop in the 80s, yeah. Peter Gabriel, yeah, absolutely.
But even later on when he got real comfortable and he'd start just like dropping back in there for big solos and shit.
Yep.
He's so good.
Well, listen to the Abacab album.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some serious work going on there.
Have you seen him lately? He came on some talk show and sang a song, and makes me very sad.
Yeah. He's not. You know why? Because he was funny, happy Phil, and now it's just he's kind of like bummed out.
I think there's a reason that he kind of got secluded.
I just finished his book earlier this year.
He had a serious drinking problem.
It didn't happen until later on in life.
Yeah.
And it's serious, but then he got all sorts of problems with his arms and stuff.
His back,
from playing.
Too.
Yeah. So he got also, that also didn't help his drinking because he was drinking to be out of pain and stuff.
Right.
And all that. So he had some, he is the shell of the man.
Yeah.
He also, like, the production of the drums too, like in the 80s, he had that crazy gated snare thing.
That goes back to Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel asked him after he had left Genesis. I don't know what album it was. If it was the one with Shock the Monkey, I'm not sure. But he asked Phil to do drums on it, and then he said, "We don't want you to play any cymbals." So he played the whole album without cymbals.
Without cymbals.
So they just put drums where the cymbals were. So in case he felt like hitting, he had to hit something. But the producer who produced that album, and I don't know his name, he's the one that came up with the drum sound. Because that drum sound you think you hear on Face Value is the first place.
Yes.
It's actually the Peter Gabriel album. It's still Phil Collins, but that sound, and that's where he took it from.
Right.
And he was just like, that's such a great sound. That's why he had that guy produce his Face Value.
That's cool.
It was really unique because it didn't sound like organic drums, but it totally wasn't a drum machine either.
Exactly. Right? Like, it didn't sound like electronic drums or something like that.
He played with a lot of, because he had one of the first, was it Yamaha, he was saying, drum machines?
Yep.
I guess when they went to Japan or something, all the guys in the band got one. And he was like, well, what the fuck do I need one? I'm a drummer. Like, the company gave it to him before they even released it. So they went home, and then when he was going through his first divorce and Genesis was taking time off, that's when he was coming back and writing all these songs for Face Value. And then that's when he had to go back. He's like, I want one of those drum machines now. So he called somebody, got it, and that's when he started making all the different drum stuff and putting that sound together and stuff.
I've got like a 1980s Mackie drum machine that I was going to bring because it sounds like I was going to make it like one of my favorite drummers and just be an asshole. It sounds like you're in an episode of Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Like you cannot make it do anything except Miami Vice backing tracks. It's awesome. But.
Well, if they ever do the reboot of that show, you're all set.
Oh, yeah. I got something for them.
That's right. Guys.
So we all can wear like no socks and those
white sport coats with our t-shirts.
Yeah,
I want to be Tubbs. He was much smoother.
Yeah,
that dude was smooth.
Oh yeah,
I just want Elvis, the alligator.
The alligator. Didn't he have an alligator on the boat?
The alligator was named Elvis.
Dude lived on a boat.
Yeah, he was a Florida State mascot. Yep. And they put poor guy, he always has that thing in the very first episode where he tells Tubbs, people took him and put a clock in him because they thought it'd be funny. So now if you're real quiet, he ticks once in a while.
You guys are a wealth of information, I might add. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy? Useless information.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure if we can do anything with this other than trivia.
Useless information.
I think I got to open another beer for John. John, this one's for you,
there
too.
You go.
Hey, give him a wink and a smile. Come on.
Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
Excuse me.
while I whip this out.
Oh, it's that time again.
In your face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Bob and John, super duper variety power.
You're titillated, aren't you?
I love that drop. And just when you think it's over.
Yeah.
My balls in!
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Time to make the chimmy fucking changas.
You can find us at bobandjohnspodcast@gmail.com, on buzzsprout.com and iTunes, or
Lusam Buttery on the Twitter and Instagram, or Facebook Live.
Or on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page at Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour.
And they still smell like mulch.
I don't have top five music, do I?
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I didn't have top five music. Sorry. No top five music.
We can sing something.
Well, I got a couple extra drummers I got to drop on you quick.
Okay, go for it.
I didn't even...
We always do honorable mentions.
Yeah, well, this is horrible because I didn't even think of it. So Simon Kirk. Simon Kirk from Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Yeah.
He was the drummer for Free. Did you know he was the drummer for Free?
Yeah, that's right.
I read that and I'm like, that can't be right.
Well, Paul Kossoff died, so they pretty much... Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much almost Free without calls off there or whatever. Yeah.
Free was a sick band.
Oh,
God.
Again, sucked into the web, you know, and I'm like watching all these live videos of them, and I'm like, wow, these guys.
Now, everyone was
here's
like,
trivia. Can you tell me what Bad Company's original album label was?
Jesus Christ, no.
Apple. Is it Apple?
No, they were the first ones on Led Zeppelin's Swan Song Records.
No, were they really?
Yeah, they were the first ones.
That's awesome.
Because Peter Grant also managed them, too.
Hmm.
He also managed them. He got them together and everything because he was friends with Paul Rogers. That's how, in the 80s, you end up with Jimmy Page and Paul Rogers.
That
and
makes
the firm.
Sense. The Firm, which was a great super group.
Yeah. That was Radioactive's a great tune.
Yep.
I mean, those two together.
All right, that's it. I just had to get that one out of there.
Dropping musical knowledge everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
That's actually why we are actually going to announce. We had a name, but I looked up the name and we can't use it.
Oh, bummer.
So we need to come up with a name. We are going to come up with either a monthly or bi-monthly podcast.
Bye.
Bipolar podcast.
Throw me a freaking bone here. Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Sorry, if I don't call somebody on the show an asshole,
it had to be done.
Sorry, I was bi-curious.
I was
jackass.
What an asshole!
One of these times I'm going to spit this beer out when you drop it. I can just see it happening.
Sounds super cool.
Yeah, that's just gold.
That's palladium.
It comes from the ass, right in the middle of the ass.
But we're going to do a podcast at least once or twice a month like that. I mean, I had to redirect that one because I knew I was going to get
one. Yeah.
And we're just John's going to be here, obviously, when he's here. And sometimes it might be all of us. Sometimes it might be three of us. Sometimes it might be four. Whoever's going to be there that day is going to. And we're just going to talk music. It's just going to be a music podcast.
Sounds great.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we love. That's what we do.
That's right.
That's what we love. That's what we do.
A full release ensures a rejuvenative rest and promotes a winning attitude.
So great.
The only one that... Well, you know what? John's probably half in the bag somewhere, so we got to play that.
Looking for a little slab of pickle.
That's my favorite, I think.
Yeah. I almost took a sip of beer before he played that, too.
He did have a rough lunch the other day, I heard.
Yeah, he was telling us that.
He ate a lot of corn nuts, too.
Yeah. Oh, that started a whole that started a whole text thread that we don't even go into.
Yeah,
that
had to have been like 60,
we don't have time for that tonight.
That
but so, what was our top five? Oh.
Yeah. Funny songs.
We have a top five. Tom brought this one to us. Top five funny songs. And since Tom brought it up, he can start it.
All right. Now, I'm going to do a little caveat here because I didn't just stick with the
big words.
With the comedy gen.
Is that like an appetizer?
Yes.
Fish eggs or something?
Yeah. It's actually an Italian pasta. It's not cavatelli, it's cavadille. It's not the way it looks to me. Anyway.
Hey, don't do that.
Little caveat here that these aren't necessarily purposely funny, all of them.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay. All
right. Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to start from 5 on up to number 1 here. And
well, we usually do 1, 5s, and then we do 4s.
Okay.
3s.
Have you ever watched the show?
Yes, I have, but I forgot. I was just so excited. I wanted to get through them all.
You know what? Me and John realized this, that we have this drop we've
Greg's
been using.
Notes.
And we didn't realize it uses the name Greg in it, and we have a Greg now.
Oh, yeah. I call
it. I have no Greg. Could you milk me?
I probably could if you gave me a minute.
Tom does not have nipples.
Nobody ever lets me try.
Nothing here.
So you're number 5, Tom.
Number 5 is it's a catchy tune, and honestly, I mean, these guys have a great sense of humor, and you can see it in some of their other songs too. The Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Oh, you know, I thought of that one.
That's humorous. That's definitely humorous.
I mean, there are just so many good references in that song. Yeah. It just kills me, you know. And they hold up pretty well to this day.
Absolutely.
Chris.
My number 5, I first heard 10 years ago, although it's much older than that. It's a song called Excitable Boy by Warren Zevon. And it's about this.
I've never heard that.
It's like each verse gets progressively darker. It's like the first verse is the kid is weird and he rubs the pot roast on his chest. It's funny. And then the second verse, he's at a porn theater and he bites one of the ushers.
All right.
And then the third one, he took this girl to the prom and then he raped her and killed her. And then the fourth one, they
and
let him out of.
Stopped laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm
Isn't
not laughing
funny?
Anymore.
Very appropriate, guys. Very appropriate. Well,
okay, I am.
And the last one, they let him out of the insane facility after 10 years, and he dug up her grave and made a cage out of her bones.
Yeah, I do remember this song.
And it's like this happy, like kind of 50s, like up-tempo song. And it's like, what the fuck is this? Oh, he's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg?
Oh, all right.
I thought we were going clockwise.
Well, yeah,
no, we can. You want to?
Yeah,
I'll go next.
I don't know.
Mine is I'm going Zappa, and it's Bobby Brown.
Oh,
that song is freaking brilliant. And
I'm not familiar. Give me some background.
Background. I'm trying to think about
plot.
If I had my phone, I had it on my phone.
Chris gave us plot.
Oh, wow. There's plot. There's not that. You know what it is? It's kind of like bagging on the he's bagging on the American way.
Okay.
Like he's basically saying, you know, he's got to get through high school, go to college, and then he goes to work on the radio, and he becomes... He becomes like this gay transvestite, and it's talking about. I'll play for you after the podcast.
All right, yeah, we're gonna listen.
It's killer Zappa. You know what I mean?
Classic Zappa.
Yeah, and he's talking about queers, and I mean everything inappropriate in there. You know what I mean?
He was working it.
Yeah,
he was working it.
Yeah. It's freaking hilarious. It's a great. It's actually I found it because somehow I came across. Portnoy singing it with Dweezil Zappa's band playing it because they were playing it, and he's friends with Dweezil. But he came out and said, because it was like a tribute night or something, and Portnoy came out and sang it. And I'm like, this is a great tune. I went back and found the original. I'm like, oh, this is even better. You know, pure Zappa. Yeah. So.
Sometimes you have to wonder if Warren Zevon and Frank Zappa were somehow related too.
Out there, like really smart but weird dudes.
Well, listen to Werewolves of London.
Yeah,
you know, the lyrics of that are kind of bizarre. You know
they
what I mean?
Very bizarre.
Yeah. You know, hey, I like your tailor. I mean, it's like, you know, not many werewolves say that.
There's another song on that record about a headless mercenary. Like, he had a head, and then somebody blew it off, but he still, like, kept being a mercenary. It's the fucking weirdest song.
That's job dedication for you.
It's called Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Nice. Bob's taking notes. We got to listen to these songs.
We're going to hear these later. Yeah.
No, songs are coming to me now, and I'm replacing ones on my list because I'm just like, other songs are coming to me, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
That's how I ended up with like 7 on my list, but I just
I think Chris made this funny / sick twisted songs.
He did. Mine are very disturbing. Yeah.
And that's why we like you, Chris. Yep. You laugh at our
that.
Jokes, and you are sick and twisted.
And yep. Yeah. You're just about as twisted.
Surrounded by assholes.
That too.
That's right.
Greg?
So I got a peek at Tom's list.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But I have one on there too that you had, and it's a classic, man. It's My Ding-a-Ling by Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
It's fucking great.
Yeah. Me and John will break out into that at any moment while we're upstairs. You know, I get him started and he starts singing it the rest of the night.
How funny is that?
You have to realize something though. John knows no lyrics. He's never learned lyrics. He doesn't even know what people say in fucking songs. He just hears the beat and the rhythm, and that's it.
Yep.
But you get a song like My Ding-a-Ling, and he can sing the whole fucking song from one to the other.
How does that happen?
And he has no idea. He has no idea.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
My Ding-a-Ling.
Right. Well, since you took my number four here, I'm going to substitute right now.
Oh. Ooh.
But the problem is I can't remember. I mean, I can look it up on my phone for a quick second, but to go on that same kind of flavor, you can ring my bell.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You can ring my bell.
You can ring my bell. Jeez, what were they ever talking about in that song? Perhaps the little man in the boat.
You come down in your best little boy's suit and expect me not to get a raging cartilager?
You know what? All of these are my favorites.
I know.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so
That's
hard.
What she said.
Yeah. It's going to be consequences and repercussions.
Chris.
Minds think alike, right, Greg?
That's right.
My next one is pretty obscure, but I remember hearing this in high school and thinking it was genius. It's a song by King Missile called Detachable Penis.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning with a bad hangover, and my penis was missing again. You see, it's detachable.
That's fine.
Helmet?
Wow.
Classic. That is a classic.
It's a great song.
I got to say, I think out of all of us here tonight, Chris gets the best delivery award.
Oh, God, yeah.
The way he delivers the song name and then goes into, you know, the explanation is...
The funny thing is, I don't think he practiced it for this.
No.
I have a feeling he could have done that any day of the week at a practice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I can't believe you did it! Oh, too good. Too good. Oh. Well, good night.
John will like this one. My number four is, we're going a little Alice here, Cold Ethel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I mean, Making Love by the Refrigerator Light, you know, Cold Ethel.
Cold Ethel.
You know, she's cool in bed. She ought to be, because Ethel's dead.
Oh, Alice.
That's good stuff. Right?
Yes, that is awesome stuff. That's one. I think it's been one of our favorites since, like, friggin' middle school. John always wants, every time he hears, like, we're going to play that, right? I'm like, John, nobody knows it. He's like, we got to play that. He wants to play it so bad.
And that's what's cool. Like, these songs are funny, but they're like fucking great songs.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
You can't. You gotta sing.
That's what makes the song. That's what makes funny songs even better is when they're good songs.
Yeah.
They're like good musicianship and everything. That makes them even better.
Oh well, yep. I'm gonna ruin that for you.
Greg,
you know,
your number four.
Yeah, I grew up on Dr. Demento. You know, yeah, I mean. That was, you know, Westward One. That was, I put on my headphones at night and lay in bed, and I had, you know, one of those crappy stacked, you know, stereo things with the cassettes and the player. And a really short cord that when you plugged in your headphones, you had to crank up the volume all the way so you could hear it well enough, and I'd fall asleep listening to Dr. Demento. And I would inevitably roll over, yank that cord out, and wake up the whole house. And people would be screaming. And I'd sleep through it because I had headphones on. And they'd be screaming at me. Yeah, so, yeah, lots of influence from Dr. Demento. So, you know, the one of my favorites, number four, Monty Python's I'm a Lumberjack.
Nice.
But there's craft there. That's craft.
It is.
It's not just being funny and stupid or something. It's like it's that still it's craft there.
Yeah,
it's not, quality.
It's not your classic, you know, radio fare, but it's
Monty Python did great shit though.
Absolutely. absolutely. there's a video.
I mean,
they were cutting videos before videos were cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny is now that we've kind of done this, and you've already done it too, where the interchangeable songs and a list and stuff because of what's gone on here and based on conversation
stuff.
I've got one I'm replacing number two with, but I'm still going to go with my number three because, and I would only known about this song if not like the rest of us, including Helmut out there,
Helmut,
listen to the Howard Stern show.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is Tiny Tim. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year. Now the funny thing about that song was it was written in about 1980, I think it was. So this is pre, you know, kind of specter of AIDS and everything that happened subsequent to that. And, of course, if you look back and you look at the old TV commercials, there was a diet supplement called AIDS, and that's where they got it from.
Santa Claus.
But I think it was AYDS is the way it was spelled. And, I remember seeing the commercials on TV. It's like, you can get slim with AIDS.
Oh, man.
And so I'm sure wrong. Probably about 1982 or 1983, they probably pulled those commercials.
You think?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you fuck a stranger.
Yes, we were waiting for that one.
This is what happens, Larry. You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you fuck a stranger there?
Oh, how could we get any more perfect with that drop, right?
It was
sitting right in front of me. I was like, I got to hit that one.
Oh, that Tiny Tim.
It's reminding me of that South Park, too, where they got to get, I got to get AIDS. No, they're just helpers.
Damn, that's nasty.
Chris?
My number three? This band, they're actually hilarious. They're very dark, too, but like they had a really good sense of humor. Typo Negative. Song called, great title, too, Unsuccessfully Coping with the Natural Beauty of Infidelity. And the chorus goes, I know you're fucking someone else. And then the background vocals are like, he knows you're fucking someone else.
Fucking genius, man.
Oh, dear Lord.
Dark geniuses.
Yeah. Dark geniuses.
I don't think we should probably cover that song. No.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to go over well for us.
No.
Maybe at like a biker rally or something.
Kids parties? Are we doing kids parties?
There seems to have been a misunderstanding about what kind of boat guys we're going to be.
My number three is... I got a couple of mentions afterwards, honorable mentions, is going to be I Hate Your Guts by Zakk Wylde.
All right, that's fair enough.
Off of Pride and Glory. Yeah, I mean, that's just straightforward, you know. You know, I dig the hole myself, but I'd rather run you over with my truck instead. I hate your guts. I wish that you were dead.
Yeah. He wasn't really masking what he was up to.
No, not at all. The great thing is he pulls out he's playing the banjo through the whole thing, and it's just a country low-down shit fucking song.
It's great.
He was feeling it. Yeah. Absolutely. Your number three, Greg?
Number three. Sticking with my Dr. Demento years, Barnes and Barnes. Fish heads.
Roly poly fish heads. Eat them up, yum.
There's actually a video to go with that.
Yes, there is. Hilarious.
Where did that came in? That came like into public consciousness not too long ago, didn't
fish
it?
Heads,
somebody
fish heads. Yeah, roly poly fish heads. Fish heads.
Somebody did something with that song.
Yum.
Yes, somebody did something with that years ago.
On that
was beautiful harmony.
Yeah, we do a nice harmony there. Just like the studio.
That's right.
My uncle says you got a screw loose.
Oh, yeah. Your uncle molests collies.
And we did it in one take that time.
One take.
Get the fuck out of here. No, I cannot.
You're number two.
Well, now this is where I'm going to do a little substitution. Now, originally I had Amish Paradise by Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al has that Santa Claus, the night Santa Claus like blew everybody away or something.
Mm-hmm.
That one is awesome, where he's killing all the reindeer and everything.
Yeah. Gotta love Al. Which he's got his start on Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
That's true.
I actually had Amish Paradise in mind, and then I found so many good ones. I was like,
So that was an honorable mention for number two. Now, Bob kind of gave me a little inspiration to go Alice Cooper for number two instead.
That's right.
And I've talked about this at a band rehearsal before. There was an album, and this is not the actual song, but there is a song called this on the album as well, but Alice Cooper's Zipper Catches Skin.
That's one of the best album names ever.
And the original album, the LP, came with a little... You know, on the outside of the album, it had a little zipper actually on the album, which was really cool. But
no skin.
No skin. Yeah, that might have kind of flaked off or something. I'm not sure. When you, like, peeled the cellophane off maybe or something like that. But my favorite song, and the first time me and my friend heard it when we bought the album, we were rolling on the floor laughing. The name of the song is "That Was the Day My Dead Pet Returned to Save My Life."
Alice. Oh, Vinny.
And the lyrics are talking about him driving down a road and he has to swerve or something, and his dog saves his life, and it's just fucking hilarious.
Great.
But that whole album is actually really solid, and it's a really kind of cool kind of 80s sound to it and everything like that. But that song just kills me to this day. In fact, I may have to go out and buy that album off Amazon again just to listen to that whole thing.
This is well established now. I mean, Alice has killer bands.
Yes.
You can't argue with any of them.
Even with the beginning, the original Alice Cooper band.
Right from day one, man.
He's always had
to pick a musician. That's,
yep.
That's why his stuff never really suffered.
And for some reason, I never get a call.
Alice, we're free.
Alice,
he must have my old number.
Yeah.
Alice,
update that.
If you need a mediocre bass player and do some pretty good harmonies, I'm your guy.
He's good.
Thank you.
Number two,
I picked the most offensive song I've ever heard in my life.
Awesome.
I love it already.
It's by Gwar.
Yes,
the most offensive band we've ever heard in our life.
Yep.
It's called "Rock and Roll Never Felt So Good," and it's about how the singer picked up a underage girl who had no arms or legs, then defiled her, and then left her in a plastic bag on the highway. And it's like
that's
this
vile. Yeah.
It's this like happy, like kind of like cock rock 80s song too. So it's like
damn, that's nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It's like juxtaposition of the most offensive lyrics I've ever heard in my life, and this like happy feel good music, and it's insane.
I'm a fan of the juxtaposition.
Had two
juxtaposition.
Songs like
juxtaposition.
Yeah. They've used more like big English phrases than this podcast has ever seen.
It was just the one juxtaposition.
What was the caviar?
Caviar? Nice.
Caviar, yeah.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Oh, so we went number two? My number two, I kind of go, it's not a list unless I put Spinal Tap in there.
Oh, yeah.
Sex Farm Woman. I'll mow and hoe you down. I listened to that this afternoon. I forgot how good it was. I'm just like, amazing. Working on a sex farm. But it was the one with, he talks about the one lyric, some about making the animals nervous. The lyrics on that is, oh my god, I was just I went back and bought the album. I was just going through it. It's like, I gotta buy this album again.
I'll take that.
I'll take that. Yeah, I forgot how good it was. Just forget it. Sex Farm Woman. And it doesn't get enough play in that movie.
No.
It doesn't. It's great. It's
I think killer. He says that one line in the movie though, doesn't he?
Not the
hoe you down, the other one. The last one you said.
Make the animals nervous. And it's something about like pitching your hay or something.
Kind of like John makes the animals up the road nervous.
Some of them come a running.
Yeah. Some of them like them.
There's probably a lot of sheep and stuff in Italy. Goats or something. Yep.
John's making some goat cheese.
Buongiorno, goat.
Ciao, goat.
John's going to love this episode.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Grazie.
Grazie, goat.
Grazie, goat.
Greg, you're number two.
This one speaks for itself. "You Caught Me Spanking It" by Stephen Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's that. Enough Stephen said. Lynch's two best. You Caught Me Spanking It and Little Mustache.
Yeah.
Where he talks about his girlfriend supposedly she's doing everything that's so blatantly Nazi, and he's just like, I think you're a Nazi when she's doing, yep. when she's like doing these, you know, with something with your Doc Martin boots and your and you want to give me a tiny mustache. But spanking it, that's great.
Yeah, you caught me spanking it.
Awesome. Yeah. That is great. Especially the way he does them, because that whole first verse, and then you don't even realize where he's going to go with the chorus. And then he starts up with the sound, last night you caught me spanking it. You know? Oh, the way I forgot how good that one was.
It's pretty freaking funny.
He's a visionary.
I probably listened to it 5 or 6 times. Once I was like, oh, yeah.
Die laughing.
That was it.
He had the grandfather, when grandfather dies, you know, because I'll be fucking rich as hell. Yeah. Oh, he's got some dark ones too.
Oh yeah.
He's got some dark ones. Real dark ones. Jesus.
We'll leave that up to you guys to find.
Yeah. You guys can find those ones.
Lynch, yeah.
I know we've talked about some dark shit tonight.
Guess I'll just go and get hammered.
You're number one, Tom.
It almost seems anticlimactic, but it's a classic, and we have to pay homage to the man in black, A Boy Named Sue.
Oh yeah!
Oh,
yeah.
It's funny. I guess stuff. I missed this.
You've never heard the song "A Boy Named Sue"?
No.
Johnny Cash, "Boy Named Sue."
No.
There's a good line, and it's about his dad left, but the only thing he did leave him was his name
and an empty bottle of booze. Yeah.
His name is Sue.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Johnny Cash, you know, writes this song about this boy named Sue who grows up, you know, getting picked on his whole life and everything like that, but he becomes a tough son of a bitch. And then he goes out and tries to find his father because he's pissed off his whole life. And then he finds him, and next thing you know, at the end of the song, they're hugging. And, you know, I called him a Paul, and he called me a son, and, you know, and everything's fine and all that, you know. But basically the moral of the story is, you know, you get a shitty name for, you know, your birth, and you got two things to do, either cower in the corner or become a tough son of a bitch, and, you know, that's the whole song.
It's less funny now that you described
it. I know.
I always thought that was a funny song, but now I feel sorry for
him. The
but
poor
then,
guy.
In the end, I feel really, you know, vindicated.
It's like absolutely.
It's like a very special episode.
A very special episode of Johnny Cash.
After school episode.
Exactly.
Jackass.
All right.
But the guy was a great songwriter and obviously had a little sense of humor too. So
He did.
He did burn a forest down one time, but we'll talk about that.
Man. We'll talk about
it. Grew back.
We'll save that for an episode of our new podcast.
You're goddamn right I do. So here come two words for you. Shut the fuck up.
Chris?
My number one makes me laugh every time. It's called "Fat Girl" by Steel Panther.
Nice. Yes.
My favorite.
I forgot about Steel Panther. Lines
were.
We may have to do this again.
I can't believe you're eating again. Yeah. Fat girl, where does your neck begin? Yeah,
Panther. Steel Panther's
if
got
John
a bunch.
If John was
of
here,
them.
It would be 5 Steel Panther songs.
I almost did that because I'm like this. This whole record.
Well, it's like when I hit the Spinal Tap album, I was like, and like Stephen Lynch too. I kind of thought about him, but I was kind of like, I was going to go with more seriously funny songs than like, you know, because he's more of a comedian.
I was torn, but I had once.
But then again, I could have gone with all Stephen Lynch songs or all Spinal Tap songs or all. You know, it was hard to start making decisions.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And then you brought Dr. Demento, the Santa Claus, Weird Al Santa Claus. I'm like, fuck. You know, it's never ending. That's why we have honorable mentions.
That's right. So you got what you got, number one.
My number one is Big Bottom, Spinal Tap.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
Talk about bum cakes. My girl's got them.
That is it right there.
Yeah. The bigger the pushing, the bigger the cushion, the better the pushing.
Yep.
I mean, that song is, and they're all playing bass.
They all play bass. No, and then the bass player has a double neck.
Yeah.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Tom has enough basses. We can play this song.
Yeah, it's just true. Really do it. The bigger the waistband, the deeper the quicksand.
Yep. What is
or
it?
So I've been told.
Yeah. I want to sink her with my pink torpedo.
She fits me like a flesh tuxedo.
What is it? Big Dave's waiting deep inside my tights.
Just, you, they were so far ahead of their time.
Oh,
you know?
Jesus. That's
Rob
why
Reiner.
Every Reiner. Yeah, that's why every, and what do you call it? Christopher, well, who are the main three there?
Guest. Christopher Guest, yeah.
Christopher Guest and
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean,
yeah.
And
Harry Smalls.
Harry
Smalls.
Harry Balls.
Harry Balls. Harry Ballsack, yeah.
Your balls are showing.
I mean, those three wrote all the songs for Rob Reiner. I mean, that's like freaking brilliant. You know what I mean? Just one. What do you call it? The one who plays Nigel, who's married to Jamie Lee Curtis there.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you said his name first.
Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest. One of my all-time favorite Saturday Night Live sketches was The Night Watchman with him and Billy Crystal. And they'd they'd walk around and go, you know, I kind of, you know, and I just shoved it in there. Yeah.
You know what I hate is when I take toothpicks and I put them through my nipples and I spin them like propellers. Yeah.
I hate when that happens. I hate when that happens. That's one of my all-time favorite fucking sketches.
I forgot about those.
Because Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest were only on for like a season.
Yeah.
But to me, that was like. All the fuck! It seemed like that was my whole growing up and childhood of Saturday Night Live was that one season.
That one season. Yep.
Christopher Guest and Martin Short doing the were they the ones doing the synchronized swimming, the synchronized whatever?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
They're like brothers.
Yeah,
male synchronized swimming.
Martin Short was a little off retarded one. Yeah, and they
won't show those anymore, will they?
Probably not. Somehow they're not politically correct.
When they did the 60 Minutes one, and Martin Short was playing that fucking real slick guy with the cigarette, and he's like, no, you know, he's on that 60 Minute magazine type of thing. That's when they used to shoot those things and like play them. They weren't like live sketches, but those were brilliant.
Yeah,
those were fucking great. Number one, Greg.
Oh, well, this is anticlimactic because it's Detachable Penis by Kansas. Oh. I remember this song so well. Like, it was that just, that did something to me. Like, when I heard that song, like, all of a sudden,
check that out.
I got to find more of this stuff. This is funny as hell.
I remember, like, I was driving at the time, like, I could drive to school, and like we recorded it. The 88.3 played it. Like, they used to be such a good station.
Yeah, they were.
For like a week straight, that's the only song we listened to in my car. It was just like, play it again.
Play that again.
Rewind. Play it again.
That's
he would have an enormous Schwanzstucker.
He's going to be very popular.
I want to give one more honorable mention, too.
Go for
because, it. You know. He's one of my favorite comedians, too. The Asshole Song by Dennis
Leary. Oh, Dennis Leary. That's brilliant. Yeah.
I got that on my honorable mention.
Yeah.
List. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the lyrics in that are just hilarious.
And honorable mention, still going Spinal Tap, Stonehenge.
Oh,
I mean, that's just epic.
That's
You know, that's hugely epic. Anybody, any other honorable mentions?
I had what the hell's the name of it? Afro Man. Because I got high.
That's good. Too. Yeah.
Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
And if you're still on the fence, allow me to get you off.
And that's our top five, I think.
Yeah.
No, that's top it. Five music.
No.
You know what?
I did have top five music, and I totally forgot to put it on.
You know what? This feels just like we're hanging out, you know, during band practice, but with not playing music in between.
Yeah,
and exactly. I can hear you all better.
Better lighting.
Everybody's got a mic now.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, that's why me and John started this whole thing. We were having conversations on the front porch, and I'm just like, we should do something with these. We're cracking ourselves up.
Yeah. Well, why not share the wealth?
Yeah, right? Why not share the wealth? Somebody might think we're funny. I don't know. We think we are.
Do you think we're funny?
Okay, so we'll do this one more time.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Time to make the chimmy fucking changas.
You can find us at bobandjohnspodcast@gmail.com, on buzzsprout.com and iTunes, or
on Loose and Buttery on the Twitter, or Instagram, or on Facebook Live.
It's the only one I can remember.
And on our YouTube channel and our Facebook page at Bob and John's Super Duper Variety Power Hour.
You know what the one thing we haven't plugged tonight is?
What?
151.
That's right. 151. We are 151, and we have a gig on
October 28th.
October 28th at
Dinosaur Barbecue in Troy, New York.
That's Cocktober 28.
That's right. Ah, damn if, you, if you're a Howard Stern fan, you might get that one.
Yeah, we'll be playing there, and by the new year, hopefully we'll be dropping some new music, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which will be played very often on this show.
Yeah, and on our new podcast.
Yes, which we don't have a name for yet, but you'll probably by the next podcast, we'll have a name, and we might even have an episode coming Ooh. Down the pike.
Hey, what's the word on costumes for
that's a good question yeah.
for Dino that's like the Saturday
before Halloween. Yeah,
I was thinking speaking of Spinal Tap, I have the Nigel the green sculpted shirt. I was gonna wear that and just cut nice. The sleeves off or something.
I wasn't gonna stretch it too far. I was gonna go as an asshole, so I had to go by my going as myself.
So he's gonna go as a big balloon knot.
Yeah, I was gonna kind of keep it low key. I think I got like a you know.
Could we know who's not?
I got yeah,
it. Well.
I'm hoping he comes down in his little boy outfit.
You come down in your best little boy suit and expect me not to get a raging cartilager?
Yeah, I've got like this blazer that is just, it's a skeleton on it. Like a black blazer, but it's all imprinted nice. With a skeleton nice. On the front. Yeah, that's
I just classic. Hope that John's costume allows him to play.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah.
Is he wearing clothes? Do we
Ooh,
know?
Yeah. Hey, that's a whole...
You're titillated, aren't you?
I'm just saying, I've seen there's...
There seems to have been a misunderstanding about what kind of boat guys we're going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I was...
I'll stop there.
I was thinking about my Fidel Castro costume, but then I thought, we're going to a biker bar. That might not be the best idea.
Yeah, you know...
Why do you hate America?
Yeah. You know what button I haven't had to hit all night, which is very rare?
Sounds like you have a dick in your mouth.
I've been waiting for that one.
There's nobody.
Nobody stumbled, really.
Nobody.
No.
Strange.
Nobody, and we got to play one more for Greg.
You motorboating son of a bitch. You old sailor, you.
You old sailor.
You old sailor, it. You.
Helmut.
Greg, what did we learn tonight?
Oh, Jesus. We learned that Chris has got a pretty dark psyche.
Yeah, I realized that, too.
And even a darker taste in music.
I know. And we love it.
And then we love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom.
You know what I've learned is that if you just pretend that camera's not there, it's like we're having a normal conversation, and this is cool, and hopefully everybody enjoys it out there.
Yeah.
In the sun.
I should have worn my SPF 30, I think. Yeah. So, yeah.
Now you guys feel our pain.
Yeah.
Chris?
I learned that I'm really creepy.
Self-realization is important.
Well, yeah. That sounds like a hot item.
I drastically underestimated my creepiness.
I will say, though, you had King Missile at like number 5, and I went right to the top with that.
Yeah,
one.
So, yeah. I mean, that could go either way.
Well, yeah.
These are all very close.
Yes.
Bob?
That is true. Me? What did I learn? I learned that Greg will milk us if, you know, he gives us enough time. We give him enough time.
You just gotta give me a chance, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, that we all miss Helmut.
Helmut, come back. Do not stay in Italy. No matter how many corn nuts they give you for free.
What was today? $6 for
$6 for smokes for like cigars
for a whole like case of cigars and a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
I'm not counting on them coming back, but you know, yeah. I'm hoping.
You're making
buddy.
A big mistake, cowboy.
So John, either you come back or we're gonna make a plea for a new drummer on this podcast right now.
Hey, don't do that.
We're gonna use Greg's old drum machine.
Ah, there you go, yeah. The Mackie.
We're basically going to Miami Vice cover band.
Yeah. All 80s theme shows.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's already been broken down before. Yeah. Never mind, Bob.
My uncle says you got a screw loose. Oh, yeah.
Your uncle molests collies.
I think that's the fitting for that one. All right, here's what we do at the end of the show. Say goodnight, guys.
Goodnight, guys. Goodnight, guys.
That's all, folks.
Stadler?
Yeah, what?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Chico!